Well, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and yet another company update. It's becoming a very busy Friday in terms of company updates. This will most likely be the last editorial of the day. We are getting an update here from Great Bear Resources and the president and CEO, Chris Taylor. Great Bear is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBDF. Now, Chris, there's a lot for us to discuss here. We're going to take care of a couple questions that came in a little bit later. First and foremost, though, let's talk about the news release that came out just yesterday, February 13th. It outlines a couple different things here. The headline says Great Bear drills 10.58 grams per ton gold over 21 meters. So nice drill result there. Also initiates 5 kilometer grid drill program at the LP fault and mobilizes the fifth drill rig. Chris, let's start off with the actual drill result. Again, that headline number about 10.5 grams per ton gold over 21 meters. What can you give us in terms of information on this drill result?
Hey, Corey, good to talk with you again. The drilling effectively is going very well along the LP fault target. So we have to move in terms of the type of drill work that we're doing from basically just a bit of a random approach where we keep testing sort of further out and, further down randomly to see what sort of the limits of the system could be. We sort of came to a decision recently. We had to draw a bit of a line in the sand or a box, as it were, because we just haven't been able to find really a termination on the gold system with the drilling so far. So we have a really big target. It's many kilometers long, many kilometers deep, that LP fault. But we decided to pick basically a 5 kilometer long section of it by about 500 meters deep, and to do an initial systematic drill program on that. So I think the results that we put out yesterday give you an idea what a lot of the drilling could be like as we go through the year. Is effectively, you're not preferentially drilling a particular area of the fault. You're systematically drilling a grid along the fault. So we now have enough comfort doing that work that we've hit in every drill hole that we've put in the fault so far, 59 holes across more than 4 kilometers, and every single one of them had gold in them. So what we're doing is getting away from the concept that we have separate zones along that structure. It's basically one coherent gold mineralized zone. And that's the biggest, most important takeaway from the release, is that, you know, we went from this initial discovery process of, and you got to put yourself in our shoes. Like if you're a junior mining exploration company, a senior mining exploration company, anybody looking for a gold system around the world, if you take a drill hole and you have a target and you have a hit on one drill hole, and then you step out again and hit it a kilometer away, and then you step out again and you hit it on a kilometer away, and then you step out again and hit it on another kilometer, nobody in their right mind would believe initially that this was all one coherent zone, because the average size of a gold zone or a gold deposit in the world is only generally a few hundred meters in strike extent. So something that could be kilometers in strike extent is extremely surprising. So we're moving away from that initial sort of just random poke approach to sort of see if it's there. We know it's there now, and now we're going to systematically test this target. So results like, 10.5 grams over 21 meters, like a 21 meter wide gold zone is very impressive in and of itself. But you're going to also drill along this thing. You'll have, several meters of the gram. You'll have a mix of results like we've seen up to 125 meters of over a gram. So you'll see a spread of results from lower grade mineralization to extremely high grade mineralization. We've seen stuff up to 750 grams previously. We see a lot of material typically in the central areas of these zones, which were, often get multi-ounce, so 100 gram plus material. And we're building up systematically an understanding of the three-dimensional distribution of the gold grades. High grade, these panel-like high grade zones that extend along strike for significant distances. You can see that in the results that we put out yesterday. We highlighted over 20 gram per ton intercepts along the entire 4 kilometer segment of it. So you can see that there's high grade along the whole thing. And now we're defining with the systematic drill program where that high grade, what the geometric, the three-dimensional geometry of that high grade is going to look like within the bigger mineralized envelope. So very exciting for us. And it's really a growth step for the company to go through that just random initial exploration to systematic definition. And of course, we're bringing in another drill rig so that we can continue the exploration across the project, because the majority of the project still has not been explored.
Okay, so you do still have this exploration going out looking at other targets, but in terms of this grid drill program, is this all going to move the company eventually into producing some sort of a resource?
Yeah, we should be at that point roughly by about this time next year. In our best estimation, we have about 300 or so drill holes to get through, and then that should be enough information to provide an initial resource for the LP fault, this first part of it that we're drilling. Of course, it'll still be open after that along strike and at depth. So you probably see a combination of a resource definition along this 5 kilometer by 500 meter deep segment. But just keep in mind, we've already hit gold deeper than that planned panel of drilling. So there will be plans. There are plans in place to do deeper drilling on it as well, and further out along strike lengths to show what the larger, more comprehensive view of it could be, even when we define an initial resource over a portion of it.
Okay, so below this interview, I am going to post a link to the news release, and I recommend checking out that figure one that does outline the 4.2 kilometers that has been drilled and the drill results that you have seen, and also that one area where holes are pending, that one little gap in the just side to the right there that we should be getting those drill results. That'll be very interesting to see. Regarding this grid drill program, what are the spacings going to be between the drilling?
Generally, we took a page out of a couple of large deposits that have some similarities, at least in terms of size of footprint. One of those is the Malartic mine, operated by Agnico Eagle. That's about it's about a 3.5 kilometer long ore body. That's, I think, the largest open pit in Canada. It's about 3.5 kilometers long, the pit, down to about 430 meters depth. And that was drilled off initially. The inferred resource spacing was about 130 meters, I believe, between drill centers. So we took that on the one end, and then we looked at the Hemlo deposit, which is more similar geologically to the LP fault that we're working with. And that was drilled off initially for an inferred resource at about 60 meter spacings on large areas of it. So we split the difference, and we're looking at something initially. We'll have drill fences, which is basically parallel setups of drill holes. Every 100 meters on average along about 5 kilometers. And those holes are designed to intersect the zone at about 75 meter vertical separation spacing. So that should give us, once we've finished at the 100 meters laterally and the 75 meters vertically, that should give us a very good understanding of the geostatistical distribution of the gold within this big portion of the LP fault zone.
All right. One thing that I do want to quickly outline here that is mentioned in this news release is that the previously disclosed LP fault zone name, so the ones that we have been talking about over the last, well, over a year now, Barramini, Gap, Yuma, Aro, these type of zone names are not going to be used anymore because, well, you're trying to tie this all together. Can you take us through, or at least help people understand what they should expect in terms of how you're going to be disclosing these results?
Sure. I mean, initially we needed separate, and I use this, you can hear the air quotes in my voice, zone names, because, again, it was so big and we kept hitting it over these huge step outs that even we couldn't conceive early on that this would all be one coherent zone. But the more drilling, like you stepped out a kilometer, but then we stepped back half a kilometer and then we stepped back 250 meters. And every time we did it, we hit the same stuff. And, with 59 holes across that area so far, the 4.2 kilometers, it was all similar geology, similar alteration, similar mineralization. So the names that we had initially, they don't mean anything anymore now that we know that it's all a continuous zone of mineralization. So we'll provide the results by drill section. So every 50 meters or so, or 100 meters along the LP fault, there'll be a different planned drill section. And we'll have numbers on the drill sections. And you can just basically, because you know that the sections are numbered based on the meters that they are apart, along the fault zone, it's very easy to tell where the results on each section are going to come from.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. It really is just the development of this project and the aspect that you're, it looks like, tying this all together, which is kind of mind-boggling. Let's quickly touch on that still exploration aspect of this drill program. Where are you guys going to be targeting with this other rig that's going to be around the project?
Well, this is something I think we'd like to get a bit more data back with, and then we'll be able to talk a bit more about. We've done other regional work, which has identified new drill targets across the property. So we need at least one drill rig going consistently to be poking holes. And remember, we don't have very much bedrock exposure on the property, so you're effectively drilling the whole thing blind. So you can use geophysics, you can use other data, and effectively you're drilling new ideas that you have based on what you've seen before and the physical signatures of the rock and the geophysical responses, and you're following those along strike so that you can hit new targets that look similar. They could be in entirely different areas of the project. It's 22 kilometers long end to end, so you can imagine that there's a lot of variability in the geology. There's probably types of mineralization we don't even know about yet, which we're just going to have to get drills into it. So about 80% of the project is still unexplored. So that's a lot of runway for that rig to go out. And the mandate that it will have effectively will be almost exactly how we found the LP fault in the first place, was you'll go and put a hole into an area, and nobody in their right mind believes that you're going to hit it out of the park when you just put a drill rig into a random area on a 22 kilometer long project. What's the chance of being able to hit, you know, crazy high grade results initially? Well, sometimes that can happen. The majority of the time, though, what you want to do is hit some anomalous gold. Like if you can hit 0.1 grams, 0.2 grams, there is no gold in these rocks unless the mineralized system has gone through. So if you can hit some low grade gold in any area, the point is to identify as many areas as possible as will have gold in them, and then figure out where the high grade is. It's exactly what we did with the LP fault drilling, and it worked out extremely well for us. So it's going to be a case here of figuring out, God, just how big is the mineralized system? Once we have an idea what its dimensionality is, and we know which areas are the best mineralized in terms of alteration and that background gold content, then we go in and we basically find the high-grade zone. So it's a bit of a process, but we need at least one rig to do that all year because of the huge amount of targets we have and the huge area that we need to cover.
All right, fair enough. Thank you for that explanation. One other news release that came out not that long ago just outlines a webinar that will be taking place February 20th at 11:15 a.m. Pacific time, 2:15 p.m. Eastern time. What can you tell us about what will be discussed at this webinar?
Well, we'll certainly go out and discuss some of the results that we just put out in the last news release. You know, I just spent 2 days, one was in New York City and one was in Montreal, talking to a number of investment funds and other people that are interested in the Great Bear story. And I could see that the market and the analysts and the people that really make the important decisions in our industry, they're still getting their heads around the size of this LP fault zone that we're dealing with as well. And it's a very, very fair comment, because like when you find something that's unusually good, you have an unusual burden of proof. And that's why systematic work from Great Bear is going to be an absolute necessity for us to really capture that extra shareholder value. Like we want people to understand, and we want to understand exactly what we have our hands on. And to do that, you need to answer questions about the systematic, methodical approach to defining a large volume of mineralization. So that's really going to be the focus, is to explain what we have just come out with and to talk about some of the things that you just raised, like what is the regional exploration planning? And there's a number of other items I want to go over as well. We'll just have to bring those up during the webinar too.
Okay. To sign up for that webinar, I will post a link below this interview. I also want to quickly address one question that came in on the back of our last interview regarding the royalty company with that 2% NSR on this Dixie project that has been put into another vehicle. You mentioned a couple of ways to add value to that company. One of our listeners asked about a maybe different way, likely after, say, the sale of the Dixie property. property. You guys also hold other projects in this Red Lake area. Would you potentially start working on those within the same company or spin a royalty out of there? I know this is much further looking, but any insights you could give us?
It's a fair question. We stake those other projects in Red Lake based on specific geological criteria. You know, one of them is the extension off of the regional D2 fold axis of the main mine. One of them is the regional extension of our own D2 fold axis on the Dixie property. And one of them is a very high level of gold in sediments. And I think it's the highest gold and sediment value for the entire district. So these are the reasons that we have those projects. And we don't yet know what we're dealing with these properties, because we've been so busy at the Dixie property that we haven't had a lot of time to go and explore these. So that's going to be explored this summer. There will be exploration programs going on at the DD property, Sobo and Pakwash. And all of those are going to see some field work. And, you know, we may have other drill targets that we end up defining. I don't know yet until we start doing the work. But in the future, it's going to depend. What we do with them depends on the value that we perceive with the property. And there may be good business opportunities to joint venture the projects. That's a possibility. There may be opportunities for us to advance them individually, you know, and there may be opportunities in the future. Like you said, it's highly, highly speculative. But, you know, ultimately, if Great Bear were to be acquired by a big producer, which is, you know, it's possible, and there's never, we never know. None of us have a crystal ball, or we may advance the project all the way through the more advanced stages of development ourselves. But then those properties become an asset that, you know, you could conceivably undertake any number of business combinations, including spinning them out to shareholders. So there's a number of things that we could do. I don't know what we're going to do yet because we don't have any information. So it's all highly speculative until we put a little bit of time in this summer and look at what we have.
Yeah, fair enough. I just wanted to get that question answered because it was sent in a couple weeks ago. Now, final comments. Let's step a little bit away from the company and discuss some of your comments with some of these gold funds. We heard for many years that the gold funds were still struggling. Fair enough. Gold had been stuck in a range. The stocks were still struggling. But now gold has started breaking out. How are these funds doing generally?
Well, this is been a very interesting time for me as the CEO of a junior mining company, because, you know, I think it's a bit of a story that everybody knows here with Great Bear. But when Great Bear was started, in order to get, you know, money to even do a property deal, I had to borrow it off my own mortgage effectively, you know, so nobody would put a dime into the gold space in 2015, because, you know, the market had declined in 2011, 2012, 2013, and it was pretty much right at the bottom. What we're seeing right now is this influx of generalist investor interest into the metal space. People like copper, people really like gold, some people like silver. But what we're seeing is that groups of money managers that have done nothing but buy Apple or Tesla or whatever they happen to be invested in, usually it's tech-related stocks in the U.S. for the last decade, they've never had to learn any other aspect of the business. And now they're going to be interested in following up on the gold space. And some of these guys, like, you have to see, you could be a money manager who's 35 years old and quite successful, you know, and if you have been working for the last decade, you never in that entire portion of your career would have considered putting a dollar into mining stocks. But, you know, as an example, I had a meeting with a fellow recently, and he asked me, oh, high grade gold, you know, does that mean, are you drilling 24 karat gold or 14 karat gold?
Oh, man.
It was, you know, it shows you that these are people that gold or metal mining has never been on their radar screen. And if you look at, you know, companies like Apple with $1 trillion market caps, you know, I was thinking the other day, if you and I was talking about this with a banker just recently, that if you just took the available cash balances, cash out of Apple and basically Google or Amazon or these companies, just the cash that they're sitting on, you could buy the entire gold mining space, the entire thing, with cash on hand from these tech companies. So what we think of as the giants of the industry, like the Barricks and the Newmonts and these companies, they could be purchased with the spare money sitting around in the coffers of these tech giants. So it shows you, you know, when you get a transition in our market from this generalist interest that's had all this billions and billions of dollars invested in other industries. When it starts to look at metals and precious metals, it's like trying to siphon the Great Lakes through a garden hose. Like, there's so much volume of money available, it tends to really have an outsized, disproportionate, you know, positive impact on interest, share price, and everything else in companies that are working with these commodities. So it's amazing to think just how small the mining investment universe we live in is, and how incredibly leveraged it is once the generalist money starts getting back in. So that's what I'll convey with the meetings that I've had over the last little while.
All right. Thanks for this comprehensive update here, Chris. If anybody has any follow-up questions, email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get those answered for you next time I chat with Chris. Chris, thanks for your time. Have a great long weekend.
Thanks, Corey. I'll talk to you soon.